In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
Tertullian, who was a Latin father of the church, his dates were 160 to 230 A.D., said, "How can I ever express the happiness of the marriage that is joined together by the church, strengthened by an offering, sealed by a blessing, ratified by the Father? How wonderful the bond between two believers with a single hope, a single desire, a single service. They are both fellow servants. There is no separation between them in spirit or flesh. In fact, they are truly two in one flesh." Love is a mystery. A mystery is something not yet revealed. It is something that God reveals to us. And Paul speaks of the mystery of Christ and the church in that definitive passage describing the relationship between a husband and wife in a marriage. And he tells us there, he starts right out with that verse that is such a red flag to women, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands." I don't know any verse about which I'm asked more questions. The answer is simple. It's not easy. May I see the hands of you women who were born submissive and quiet and wanting to be told what to do? You're not looking at one. There is not so much as an atom in me of natural submissiveness or gracious acceptance of my husband's leadership. But Paul says this is a mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. And I see the Christian home as a theater in which there is a drama being enacted every day where God has already chosen the characters. He has already cast the characters. And there are two characters in this drama. One represents Christ, and the other one represents Christ's bride, the church. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the very foundation of harmony in the home. The husband stands in the place of Christ. And this is a terrible stumbling block in today's world. We have been given a bill of goods. We have been fed the biggest pile of rubbish and nonsense in the past at least two decades, that men and women are meant to be equal, that marriage is a 50-50 partnership, that we are interchangeable, and the only difference between men and women is an anatomical triviality that doesn't mean anything. And time after time after time, I have been in Christian groups, I have been asked to be on panels, I have been in debates, I've been on television discussing this whole business of the relationship between men and women in the church and in the home. And both places are theaters. The church is a theater in which the mystery of Christ in the church is being enacted, and the home is another theater in which the mystery of Christ in the church is being enacted. Never once in any of those discussions, panels, debates, whatever, has anybody mentioned this passage in Ephesians emphasizing the mystery of Christ in the church. It is a dangerous business to tamper with mystery. It is a very hazardous business. And you know what's wrong with many Christians' attitude toward the whole sexual difference? It is being profaned. And by profanity, we mean treating something which is loaded with spiritual significance as if it meant absolutely nothing. My femininity is loaded with spiritual significance. I can't mess around with that. I can't tinker with that. My husband and I can't sit down and say, well, now let's see, who is going to run this show? Shall we debate? Shall we vote on everything? Is it a 50-50 partnership? No, it's not. It is complementary. We are made differently. The wife is to submit to the husband, not because he's smarter, not because he's more spiritual, not because he's always right, not because he's bigger than she is and taller and better looking and all the rest of it. He may be all of those things, but that does not qualify him to be the head of the house. What qualifies him? God's assignment. A divine office delegated by God to the man for my freedom, for my liberation. I am a liberated woman as long as I recognize the mystery, as long as I submit to my husband, not as to Lars Gren. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to whom? The Lord. As to the Lord. Well, we could go on for hours on that subject. We won't. But do you see that there is a drama being enacted in the Christian home? This is the foundation. It is sacrificial love. Now, of course, Paul goes on to give a much tougher command to the husbands. Women are always screaming and yelling and jumping up and down about how awful it is that they have to submit to their husbands. Why should I submit to this guy? He doesn't know any more about it than I do. He's fallible, he's mistaken sometimes, etc. And I think, I wish they'd read the whole thing. I wish people who call Paul a male chauvinist pig would realize that Paul laid a much heavier burden on the husband, because he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that's the kind of love we're talking about tonight. Sacrifice. It means sacrifice. Love always means sacrifice. For me to submit to my husband means sacrifice, of course, because I have ideas of my own. I don't want to be told what to do. I abnegate my position of authority, which doesn't belong to me anyway. I give up my right to myself. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, three conditions. Give up your right to yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. And that cuts absolutely across every single one of us selfish human beings. Give up your right to yourself. If you can do that, then you can take up your cross. Then you can follow, but not until you've given up your right to yourself. So, as I give up my right to myself and accept the headship which God has assigned to my husband, he didn't earn it, he didn't deserve it, I didn't give it to him. God did. God has assigned it. Then he has to answer to God. Do you love her as Christ loved the church? Will you lay down your life for her? Are you prepared to make that kind of a sacrifice? What if the sacrifice means a Saturday afternoon at home for a change instead of on the golf course? That's a sacrifice, isn't it? You have to sacrifice for your children. Every mother knows from the day she's pregnant that she is saying, in effect, my life for yours. And from the day that baby is born, it's my life for yours in a much more practical and visible way. Any full nights of sleep for weeks after the baby's born? And any husband and wife with a new baby, their first new baby, will tell you it's a total change of your life, isn't it? But it means sacrifice. Loving God to the point of disregarding self. That is the foundation of a Christian home. And as we enact the parts that God has assigned to us as husbands and wives, we are creating a visible sign, a permanent reminder of what happened on the cross when Jesus said, my life for yours. The bread that I will give is my body, and I will give it for the life of the world. You and I are meant to be broken bread and poured out wine for the life of the world. And we don't make a big deal out of the word sacrifice. It's not something we go around talking about. If we do, our honesty and sincerity would be open to serious question. It's a glad surrender, a joyful offering. It's love. What bride going down the aisle is dissolved in tears because of all the sacrifices she's having to make in order to get this guy who's standing up there grinning at her? She has to give up her name. She has to give up her parents. She has to give up her geography. She's got to go someplace else and live. All she can think about is the radiance of love on the face of that man down there waiting for her, and her heart is just bursting with love, and all she wants in the whole world is to surrender herself totally to that man because she loves him. And yet we make such a huge deal about sacrificing for Christ. The love between a husband and a wife is a visible sign of an invisible reality. The love of Christ. The giving of himself in the flesh to us is to be reenacted as we give up our right to ourselves and take up his cross and follow him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.